Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Acts 17, verse number 23. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the men of Athens. He said, "As I passed by, I beheld your devotions or monuments. I found an altar. An altar is a place of sacrifice and giving. That's where you offer something at the altar. I found an altar. And the altar has something written on it. The altar being the place where something is sacrificed. Is anything worse than giving and giving and giving and spending and spending and spending, but you can't see what you're spending on?" You say, "Man, where'd all that go? Where did the time go? Where did the money go? Where did my life go? I spent, but I don't see nothing." So Paul finds an altar. That's a place of giving and sacrifice. But it had something written on it. Look what it had written on it, church. "To the unknown God." Imagine giving and serving and sacrificing to an unknown God. Well, that's not the will of God, that we offer to a God we don't know, to the unknown God. Paul says, "Him whom therefore you ignorantly worship," because you don't know him, "I'm here to declare him unto you." Him declare I unto you. I like that language. That sounds deep. Him declare I unto you. I'd be like, "I'm here to show you who he is." But no, not the Apostle Paul. "Him declare I unto you." Yeah, that sounds good. That's eloquent. God that made the world. Look where he starts. God that made the world. He could have started at Golgotha's hill where Jesus was crucified. He could have started 3 days and three nights after Golgotha's hill where Jesus was raised. He could have started on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was sent. He could have started when God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. But no, he said, "Let's start where it began. God that made the world. We're going to take you all the way back to the creation. I'm going to take you all the way back to the beginning." This unknown God, the first thing you need to know about him is that everything came out of him. Why is that important? I'm going to tell you why that is important. Is I feel like I'm speaking for myself, but I may be speaking for you. I feel like I have a hard time seeing nothing. I think, you know, for me, seeing God create before anything was there, I can't imagine nothing. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, "Well, okay, it was just dark." But darkness is something. And I can't see nothing. And but yet God stepped out in nothing and did something called creation. But there wasn't nothing. But he made something. And you say, "I don't believe that." Well, you might believe that theory that a man that was bitter at his Christian parents wrote that later in life said it was crazy. Called the theory of evolution. And even in the theory of evolution, there was nothing there except something that blew up. But what blew up? We don't know. It just blew up. Well, how did something you don't know was there and it wasn't there blew up? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? So you either way, you got to start with nothing. I choose to start with nothing, but on the other side of nothing was a God that don't need nothing. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Nothing makes him who he is, but he makes everything that exists. Life comes out of him, but he didn't come out of life. He's God. He's the origin. He's the beginning. He's the first of all things. He is the author, therefore he is the authority. He is the beginning, therefore he controls the end. He is my point of reference because everything started with him. Now, why is that important for me to understand? Because he doesn't need me to be who he is. He doesn't need the inventory of my life for him to do miracles in my life. He is a God that does something with nothing, but yet we limit God waiting on something when he doesn't need something. He only needs nothing to do what he wants to do. That's why I got to go all the way back to him. Otherwise, my thoughts of him are always going to be minimal. We think too little. We wonder what God could do with this, and we put him in this, whatever this is in your life. And God is like, "You putting me in this? I'm too big to be in that. I'll take what you think is the wrong direction, just to put you on the right direction. We were in a little building that we were renting. It had about 70 members. And we finally found this physical address after 5 years of being at LSUS as a church. And I'm thinking, man, this is it. We're going to rest right here. We got a place. Another church went out being, and they let us step in and buy their furnishing. I'm like, man, we have finally got our own address. We're going to grow for sure right here. And there we're going to raise money, and we're going to develop the property that we had already bought down the street at our old location. I had it all figured out. But we wasn't there in no time, and the building sold. And the new owner put us out. He put us out. We're back on the street trying to find a place to go. But what did the new owner do after he put us out? He went to a guy that he knew and just bumped into him casually and bragged about how he had put us out, not knowing that the guy he was telling that to was actually our contractor. So the contractor's like, what? You did what? And so the contractor called me on the phone. I lived in Greenwood at the time. I was on Shirley Francis Drive when I got the call. He said, Pastor James, can you come to my office tomorrow? I'm like, yes, sir, I can come to your office right now. No, I'll just come in the morning. I said, okay, what you need? He said, you need a church. We're getting ready to build it. I'm like, but we hadn't raised the money yet. He said, just be at my office. We were supposed to have raised like $30,000. We had $800,000. I got to the office to meet with him to start construction. He said, we're going to start construction. I said, we don't have but $800. He said, no, you don't. He said, I've deducted. I'm giving you the $30,000. I'm taking $30,000 off because of what I heard. Because of what I heard. Because of what I heard. You ain't hearing me. It looked like we were going in the wrong direction, but it was God's direction. You would stay up all night trying to figure out God. He's too big for you and I to figure out. He don't need me to be who he is. He can do whatever he wants to do any way he wants to do it. He don't need nothing. Let's finish these scriptures here. Acts 17, you still there? Yeah. Notice he says in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Man didn't have to build a temple before God felt invited to the earth he made. God said, I wasn't waiting on you to build a temple before I inhabited this earth. I wasn't waiting on you to build a church before I showed up in your life. He showed up in many of y'all's life before you got to church. Verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Look at that statement, as though he needed anything. I don't give him anything that makes him who he is. He makes me who I am. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, of one blood, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times. God knew when I would be born. He knew when you would be born. And it was appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. He knew where you would live. He knew where you would abide. He knew your habitation before you were even born. He knew the time of your birth and where you would stay. Come on, somebody. But what's he doing? Now, he knows us. He knew us from before we were born. He knew the place of our habitation. But notice what he's after in verse 27, rather. That they should seek the Lord. I'm seeking him. I'm looking for him, looking for my point of reference. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Shreveport Bossier, read verse 28 out loud. Ready? Read. For in him. For we are also his offspring. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our very being. He is my everything every day. Hallelujah. Now, with this in mind, I want you to come back to the book of Job. Job is right in front of Psalms. So if you can find Psalms, you can find Job. Go with me to Job chapter 38. So let's say right now, okay, I feel disoriented. I need direction. I need my sense of direction. I need to find my eye line. I need to find my lighthouse. I need to find my mile marker. I need to find something to give me my point of reference to get me back. Sometimes you can find God where you last saw him. I ran into somebody not long ago, and they said, "Oh, Pastor Jay, it's good to see you. I know I ain't been in church in a long time." And I said, "Well, how long has it been?" They said, "Well, it's been since COVID." And they said, "Oh, man, times were so good when I was in church, a lot of da. And it was this and this, and they were testifying. And then they said this, "I'm just really trying to find the Lord right now." Now, I ain't saying the Lord is at church. That's not my point. But if when you look back on your life, when you were in the Word and in worship and in community and in fellowship and in a church, and you felt like God was in your life, and then you left that, and then you over here said, "I'm just trying to find the Lord," why wouldn't you go back to the last place you know you saw him? Hey! I mean, if I lost something, I'm going to go back to the last place I saw it. When I'd go looking for something and finally find it, my daddy said, "You should have looked there first." He had another saying. He said, "I'd find it, you know, at the last place I looked." My daddy was too deep for me, man. But watch this in Job 38. Now, let me set this in context. Job has had a bad 9 months. The enemy's objective was to put so much trial in Job's life that he would curse God and die. That was the objective. And God had already had declared the end from the beginning that Job wouldn't do it. And the only person on record to line their mouth up with the enemy was Job's wife. She finally had enough when they said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And you know Job had to have it rough then when your spouse is lining up with the enemy. It ain't good. Nobody in here having that problem. Smile if you're married in church. Yeah, not you, baby. Yeah, but no. You speak for the Lord in my life. Always. Ask forgiveness later. So Job's got friends giving him bad counsel. And Job's, something happens. I'm going to show it to you, matter of fact, in chapter 40, and then we're going to back up. Go to chapter 40, I'm going to show it to you. And we'll look at it in verse 1, then we're going to back up, because this is all the same dialogue. But I'm kind of going to show you where Job's mind was. Verse 1, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." In other words, you're gonna give, God is saying to Job, "Are you not going to give me the instruction? Are you not going to tell me how to do it? Are you going to tell me what to do? Let me say it like this. Does God need me as his point of reference? God don't need me as his point of reference." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth." I can't get it right. Getting deep with God. Well, you ain't had your hand upon your mouth up to this point. Because he hadn't. "Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." Now, isn't that just like us? We say, "Well, once I said something." Imagine being in trouble with your parents. And then your parents say, "You done, boy, don't you talk to me like that." "Well, I only said that once." And well, twice. That's what Job is doing before God. Look what he says here. "Once have I spoken, but I will not." Well, twice. Do you see it in verse number 5? So me it's probably 3 or 4 times. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. "Well, once have I spoken, but I will not answer." Yeah, well, twice. "But I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord and said unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up your loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, declare thou unto me." You will answer me. Will you disannul my judgment? What does disannul mean? Cancel out. Will you cancel out what I said? Are you just going to ignore my word? Are you going to disannul my judgment? I've already made a judgment, Job. Are you just going to cancel out what I said? Look at this. Wilt thou condemn me? that thou mayest be righteous. In other words, you're going to make me look bad so you can look good? You lost the job. You were dishonorable. You told the story. You lost the job. And what did you say? God didn't have that job for me. No, you didn't have that job for you. We don't know whether God had the job for you or not because you lost it. God didn't make you lie. God didn't make you show up consistently late and not do the job. Hello. How many times do we condemn God that we can look good? How's that relationship going? Oh, it didn't work out, but it wasn't. The Lord broke it up. No, you broke it up. You messed that up. Just own it. Say, I messed up. Was God in it? I don't know, but all things work for good. I love God. I trust He's going to work it out, but I messed that one up. If it's His will, maybe He'll reconcile it. If not, I'll move on. Boy, y'all making me nervous now. Y'all too quiet in here. So he said, will you condemn me that you may be righteous? Do you, verse 9, do you have an arm like God, or can you thunder a voice like Him? Now, let's go back to chapter 38. So I wanted you to get a peek of this dialogue that had been going on between Job and God. And I love what the Lord does in chapter 38. He gives Job a point of reference. And God's point of reference is always big. Big. Like I shared with you last week, Abraham. Oh, Lord, what would you do for me? I have no children. Well, I got this good manager, this good steward, this good financial agent. I guess, you know, if I died, he could carry on all that you blessed me with. No, Abraham. Talking about I can't do this because you don't have a child. Come on outside. He said, you see all them stars? And Abraham can't even count them, and God's done named them. Did you hear what I said? Abraham can't even count the stars, and God's named them all. What's he trying to do? He's trying to say, you're thinking I don't have a child? You're thinking I'm about to use this steward? Look what I have for you, Abraham. My plans for you are much bigger than what you have for yourself. Your point of reference is off. You need me in your life. You'll think bigger. You'll have more faith. And that's what God does to Job right here in chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? In essence, he's saying, how are you going to counsel me when you don't know enough? How are you going to tell me what I'm going to do in your life when you don't know your life like I know your life? All you know is today and back to a certain degree. And sometimes you get your own story from years ago distorted. But God is saying, I knew the moment of your conception. I knew the moment of your conception when the seed made its way down that path and found the egg, and the egg was fermented and conception took place. I was on that seed that made that germination take place. So that I know everything about you. I know things you don't even know yet because I know your children. And I know your children's children. And I even know your children's children's children. I see your past and your present and your future and your future and your future, future, future. And you can't even see past today. So how are you going to advise me when you don't know enough to advise me? I get so frustrated by people that think they speak for God. God is bigger than your box of legalism. God is bigger than your religion. God is bigger than your tradition. God is bigger than anything you can begin to capture in your intellect. Talking about you got a degree. You could have so many degrees a thermometer would burst and you still couldn't touch Theo in your theology. He's too big for you. He told Isaiah in chapter 55, verse 8, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. He said, Joe, are you now counseling me? You don't know enough to counsel me. Verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man. for I will demand of thee and answer you me. And then he says this to Job in verse 4. Where were you? Where were you? Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when there was nothing? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have any understanding. Who laid the measuring tape when I created this thing? Who held the other end of the tape when I said hold the tape right there? Who was on the other end of the tape measure? Who made the measurements of the earth? There was nobody. God did it himself. He made it out of nothing. He made it by his word. He was letting Job know, let's get you a better and a bigger point of reference. You've made me too small. You've made me something you've put in a box. You've made me something you've written in a tablet. You've made me something you read in a book. You've made me something you learned in a class. You've made me too little. You've made me something that was kept in a little house called church. You've made me too little. Let me tell you how big I am. Everything that you see came out of me, and I didn't need nothing to make it. I'm big. God was giving Job a bigger point of reference that I think all of us would do well to get a hold of. Where were you, Job? Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God or angels shouted for joy, were you there to hear it? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had an issued out of the womb? And when I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. Where were you, Job? Verse 12 or 11, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. That's what he told the waves. Hitherto shall you come, but no further. And here shall the prow waves be stayed. Who told the sea that when you get to this point, you go back again? When that same God showed up and met the disciples in that boat. When that boat is rocking, that boat is rocking. Oh, this man's sleeping. Jesus is sleeping. Oh, Jesus is sleeping. We all gonna die because he's sleeping. And they wake Jesus up. Don't you care? Don't you care that we're in this storm and we all about to die? And Jesus got up and he spoke to the wind and he spoke to the rain and he spoke to the sea. God is never asleep on our situation. He's just testing our faith, just seeing what our point of reference is. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 12, hast thou commanded the morning since the days and caused the day spring to know his place? Man. There's one statement here. Blows my mind. I got to find it real quick. I know we got to close, but man. Oh man, look this good. I found it. Look here. He says in verse 21, do you know because you were born? Were you even born then, Job? Do you know all these things because the number of your days is so great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? There's this lab in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, where they got these high-definition cameras. You know what they take pictures of? Snowflakes. Snowdrops and these cameras just capture snowflakes. And they got millions and millions and millions of pictures of snowflakes that go into a computer system. Steamboat Springs, Colorado, go into a computer system. Guess what the computer's doing? Trying to find two identical snowflakes. Ask me how many they found. None. But before there was a lab in Colorado that was shooting high-definition pictures and storing them in computer systems to analyze to see if there was more than one alike. God had already said, do you know the treasure of snow that ain't no two snowflakes alike? I know that before there was a camera to capture it and a computer to study it. God was telling Job that right here. I know things about my creation that man ain't begin to figure out yet. We need our point of reference realigned. Let me end with something encouraging for you. Men will tell you all kind of things. And you can't let what man says be your point of reference. I'm not saying all men are going to steer you wrong. I'm just saying what a man says need to line up with what God said. I woke up with this verse on my mind this morning. It was Romans 3:4, and it says this: let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, if you disagree with him, then you're a liar. I got to stick with what he said. I need a point of reference in my life, and it can't be my past, and it can't be folks' opinions, and it can't be bad religion. No, I need a point of reference in my life that is based on he who is the way, he who is the truth, and he who is the life. I need Jesus to be the center of the center of the wheel of my life. I need him to be the point of reference in my life. I wrote these things down this morning. I got to get them out real quick. I woke up with this thought on my mind. Who or what you put at the start will control the end. Who or what you put at the start will control the end. Here's another. The author of our lives maintains authority. You can't even write authority without writing author. God is the author, therefore he is the authority. Man can do whatever he want to do, and God's going to do what he want to do. And he's made this earth to have seasons, and he's made this earth's climate to change. Man can cut everybody's gas stove out the house. He can make us all drive electric cars. When Jesus says it's time, this world is going to do just what Revelation says it's going to do, and man won't have nothing to do with it. But until it's time, God made this earth to be inhabited. Man consistently tries to act like God, but man is not God. Man cannot control the future of the earth. Man cannot decide somebody's gender. Man can't do things only God can do. We as the body of Christ need to get realigned to the true point of reference, and that is Jesus, his word, and truth.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.